quite a crew that we have. And for those of you parents who are with toddlers, perhaps you have suggested that we do a conference sometimes for mom with toddlers. There's plenty of things that truth has to teach us, about parenting, about children, including toddlers. So don't despair. The Lord is there, and we have much to take courage and comfort in. So we thank you for sharing them with us each Sunday. I know personally for myself as well that time is a favorite time, whether they're singing, whether they're answering questions, or whatever they're doing. They are a joy to have. So thank you for bringing them and allowing them to come up and to participate in those ways. Well, I wish you all a very good morning. Hope that you've had a blessed week. For many, a different week with holiday and different things that have taken place, but I hope that it's been a good week. And I hope that your time here today has been well spent to this point, and as we spend time studying the Word together, that it will be well spent, and that you will feel like that your time is a good investment every time that you come and join us, every time that we open the Word together, that it is a very blessed time. Today's text is Ephesians chapter 5. We studied it some in our family training hour this morning and the adults' family training hour. It happens to be part of our scripture memory for this coming month. So much that we can take from this passage, not just today, but into the future as well. And as you can, you've kind of probably pieced some parts of the puzzle together already. I elected to go this direction based on that being one of the theme verses and theme songs that we used during Vacation Bible School a couple weeks ago. So it's been something that's been kind of on my heart and my mind, and as I have evaluated passages that deal with the concept of wisdom and walking with the wise. This passage out of Ephesians chapter 5 is a golden passage for sure. And so let's spend a little bit of time. If you're not there, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read it together, and we will spend some time studying it together today. It says in verse 15, Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I trust that you're not feeling foolish this morning, that in your time here, and especially even in our time that we spent with in Family Training Hour, there's very good passages of Scripture and instruction on understanding and knowing God's will. So that's going to be a small part of what we cover today out of this passage. But the first thing that I want to ask you is just whether or not you ever consider the priority of wisdom in your own life. Do you ever consider how important or the priority that it does or that it should take in your own life? The Scripture is full with the thought of wisdom for us as followers of Christ. And nowhere is it more concentrated than in the book of Proverbs. And so I want to just encourage you to get to thinking some about that concept of wisdom in your life by reading a couple of verses out of Proverbs chapter 3. So if you want to flip back there, you can. If not, you can just jot it down and listen to what I have to say. Proverbs chapter 3, I want to read verses 13 and 14. It says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold." I dare say if we had somebody today that told us, I have something for you that is guaranteed to bless you. Its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain better than gold. I guarantee you that a lot of people would perk up their ears and listen. That would get the attention of a lot of people. But then to attach it to wisdom, the concept of wisdom, probably we'd lose a lot of interest in a real hurry. Because I think a lot of people are confused about what wisdom is and what about what true wisdom really does and should accomplish in our lives. I hope that you have a hunger and a thirst for wisdom. I hope that you take advantage of regular Proverbs in your life. If you spend much time in the book of Proverbs, you will get a regular dose of the encouragement of wisdom and teaching wisdom to your children, your grandchildren, family members, and friends. And so wisdom is something that the Lord and the Scriptures elevate and is such a high importance and priority in so many ways as we study. And I just regret to say that I grew up not knowing that. Even though I was raised in a family that we went to church and we knew that the Bible was God's Word, we didn't study it much, and I don't think I was ever told as I was growing up to seek wisdom, to search for wisdom. And that just, it pains my heart to think that there are people that grow up like that, that way. And perhaps some of you can relate, and hopefully not in terms of what we accomplish in our children's and our children's life. Hopefully they will all hear the priority of wisdom for them. Well, wisdom is a skill for life. Wisdom is the right way to live. God has given us plenty of it, and the question is, do we need it? I think that we've already answered that, even based on Proverbs chapter 3. But to begin to properly study this out of the text today, we're going to have to go backwards from where we were at in Ephesians chapter 5, so flip back there if you're not already there. Ephesians chapter 5, because in verse 15 it starts with the word therefore, which is pointing backwards to some things that have already happened. In fact, I'd like to take you back even a little bit further than the immediate context, back and consider where we are at in the context of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the first three chapters of Ephesians are chapters that deal a lot with the truths about what our Savior has done for us. For instance, if you go back far enough in chapter 1 of verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And he went about in the first three chapters of Ephesians helping us as followers of Christ to see our position and our precious riches that we have in Christ that often we are ignorant of or that we don't understand or don't understand very well. The last three chapters of the book go from that foundation of a proper theology and perspective of who Christ is and what he has done for us in his sacrificial work on the cross and bringing us into his family. It goes into the practical aspect of how we should then live in light of those truths that are learned in the first three chapters. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as a prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called." So there's the transition from the first three chapters to the last three is a challenge to walk in a worthy manner. And that's really the context with which he teaches the challenges and the practical applications of the following chapters. Chapter 5 and verses 16 through 17 are part of that. So really the context and the theme of what we want to study today is walking in a manner worthy of who we are in Christ. And we just need to take a minute to stop and ask ourselves, are we walking in that manner? Are we walking in a worthy manner? Not only does he tell us to walk in a worthy manner? He begins to unfold what some of those highlights would be. And if you go to chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. So one of the ways of walking in a worthy manner is to walk in love. So when Paul says, therefore, he is referring back to some of these truths that he's already taught. Therefore, we should be walking, because we are to be walking in a worthy manner, because and therefore we are to be walking in love, he goes on to say in verse 8 of chapter 5, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So we're also to be walking as children of the light. And he begins to unpack what that means, just as he does in chapter 4 and verse 1, chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, and then in chapter 5 and verse 8. So this is all part of a worthy walk. Walking worthy means to be walking part of chapter 3 is walking in truth. We didn't take a look at that, but chapter 4 is walking in love. The middle part of chapter 5 is walking in light. And now that leads us to the next manner in which we are to walk in a worthy way, and that is to walk wisely. To walk wisely. So we're going to unpack out of this passage today about four primary principles of a wise walk, and really it flows out of that concept of a worthy walk. And the first principle is to have a wise walk, that we should be walking in wisdom. And this passage even answers the question, how do we walk in wisdom? It says in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk. So walking in wisdom is a careful walk. A careful walk. To be careful means to be accurate or to be exact. To be careful about something, you have to investigate it. You have to take time to invest in it and to expand your search into what that means. Today, this morning, as you came to the church, perhaps that's part of your investment in walking in a wise way, in learning more wisdom about what that means. There's a place in Luke chapter 1 where Luke describes something that he did. I'll flip back and read it in Luke verse 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus. He says that he did something in a very careful way. He said he investigated everything that he had heard, everything that was taught and said about Jesus Christ. He investigated everything carefully from the beginning to write it out in consecutive order. Luke, being a doctor, decided to do something very specific. If you would put yourself in his place, you'll realize that what he did was quite an amazing thing, an amazing feat, to take and investigate carefully everything that he had heard about Jesus Christ so that he could write it down. That is a worthy walk. That is a wise walk, to take time and to investigate those things carefully. That is the same word that's used in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, be careful how you walk, not as wise as unwise men, but as wise. So the Lord wants us to be wise in our walk. And in order to do that, we must invest time, invest effort to be careful and to be accurate. Wisdom is a very broad category, and we need to investigate that category very carefully to know what that means. Well, in addition to the priority of a wise walk, the second thing that is mentioned in this passage in the beginning part of verse 16 is making the most of your time. A wise walk and a worthy walk also involves a limited window evaluation and understanding of our life. A limited window, seeing our time as a limited window. What I mean by that is, as you look at chapter 16 and chapter 5 and verse 16, the first part, it says, making the most of your time. The word making the most means to redeem or to buy it up or to buy it back. It was used in purchasing a slave and then setting him free. Wisdom is an investment strategy, if you will, an investment in our time. There are many, many ways that we can study and look at wisdom, but the thing that the Apostle Paul chose to talk about, a wise walk, an investment, was an investment in time, how we utilize and how we invest in the issues of time in our life. Now, when he talks about time, this concept of time and this word that he uses is not the tick-tock of minutes and hours and days as they pass. It is much more the concept of a given portion of time. What I mean by that is, turn with me, if you would please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And the same thought and the same word is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, where Peter says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. That's not looking at the minutes and hours so much as it is an allotted time that you and I have been given. So none of us knows exactly what that allotted time is that we've been given. But this time that we have been given, whether it be short or whether it be long, is a time that we should seek to invest well in terms of eternity, in light of eternity. For some people, that amount of time is smaller. I had a friend when I was growing up. We were sophomores in high school, and coming back one night from a sports activity, she was involved in a vehicle accident, and her life ended immediately. And as I'm sure many of you can have been through similar experiences, it was a time of real soul-searching for myself personally and for a lot of other people. How can the life of a young 15-year-old be taken so quickly, so dramatically? On the other hand, as I compare that to myself, he's now given me 60 years. Seems like almost 60 years. Seems like a long time, right? Especially according to the amount of time that my friend had who was killed in that accident when I was in high school. But the reality is, in light of eternity, all of us have, no matter how many days are allotted, we should look at it as a limited time. We should see that as a very narrow window of time. I appreciated what Doc had to say this morning about his time being, and I think in this testimony he mentioned a while back, he's in the fourth quarter. The older we get, the more we realize and we see things from that perspective. But ultimately, none of us know exactly what the allotted amount of time is. But in light of eternity, it's small. David, in the Psalms, often spoke of the issues of time and eternity. I'm just going to read from you a passage out of Psalm chapter 39. You're welcome to turn there with me if you want to. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. David said, Lord, make me know my end. What is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man is at his best a mere breath. We could make a theology just out of the quickness, the shortness of life. We could make it a breath, a vapor theology, and talk about in light of eternity, in light of a God who has always existed, our existence here is just but a very small portion of time. So a person who walks in a worthy manner not only walks wisely in terms of seeking wisdom in his life, he also walks with an understanding as to the limitation that he has, or that limited window in his life. And as a result, he makes the most of redeeming and buying up that time as best that he can. May it be said of us that we seek to not waste time, but rather to make the very most of it. And there are many ways and many opportunities that God gives us in his word to do that. We have the priority of work, and we know that work is not a vain thing. When we do it in God's way, we know that work is a good thing. Things such as parenting and grandparenting, discipling, serving, church building and strengthening, study, prayer, encouraging others, etc., etc. God's opportunities that he's given us to redeem the time and make the most of it are many, many. I came across a quote from Matthew Henry in his commentary where he talked about time. I thought it would be worth quoting. He says, time is a talent given to God, and it is missed and lost when not employed according to his design. If we have lost time heretofore, we must double our diligence for the future. And I'm sure all of us can say, and look back on our life, we were reckless with the time we wasted. Of that time, which thousands on a dying bed would gladly redeem at the price of the whole world, how little do men think, and to what trifles do they daily sacrifice it? People are very apt to complain of bad times. It were well if that stirred them to redeem time and be not unwise. Ignorance of our duty and neglect of our souls show the greatest folly or the greatest of foolishness. So I think that it's not an accident that in talking about walking in wisdom, one of the things that the apostle particularly focuses in on is the concept of time. Time, after all, is what? Money. And as a lot of people say, it's an investment. And the question is, how well have we and how well are we investing in it? I'm sure there's a lot of portfolios out there that do not include the investment of time. And yet I think that if we were to be wise in our investment of things in our life, we would say, I want in my portfolio a concept of how I'm going to invest my time. I was reading about a man named Philip Melanchthon. I don't exactly know how to pronounce his name, not real familiar with him, but he was a good friend of someone I think you will recognize, Martin Luther. He was a reformer, and he made it a point to record every day of every wasted moment, and he took his list in confession to the Lord at the end of each day, and the Lord used him along with others in a mighty way. So that is an interesting concept to think about, actually keeping track of wasted time. Well, we need God's wisdom to know what's a waste and what's not, do we not? But on the other hand, I think we can all say that there are times that we know that we do not redeem the time as God would have us to redeem the time. Next, we're going to cover something that makes a simple time investment strategy very difficult. I'm not saying, nor does the Apostle Paul say, that redeeming the time and making the most of it is easy. And the third consideration that I'd like to ask you to consider this morning is the dangers of trying to do this in a wicked world. This is indeed a very fallen and wicked world that we live in. And I think that many of us struggle here probably more than what we even think. Our limited window of this life is lived out in an evil day, an evil environment, if you will. The scriptures are pretty clear on this, and I want to just take you to a couple to get you thinking along this line of the fallenness of the world that we live in. Turn first of all to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Back just a few pages to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. It says in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Do we tend to think along that line when it comes to this world, this present evil age? But that's the way that Scripture tends to talk of the world that we speak of and have us to think of in terms of the world that we live in. And I think that wisdom would say we need to carefully examine this. You could also flip to 1 John chapter 5, back to the book of 1 John chapter 5. And in chapter 5, in verse 19, it says, we know that we are from God, we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That is the context with which we must consider how we're going to redeem the time of this world. It is a world that does not make it easy for us to do that with. It is not an easy venture or an easy challenge. As I mentioned, I think that part of the challenge that we have is just getting our minds around that. And I think in particular because we are affected so much by the world and the world's thinking itself. I decided in order to try to help us grasp this concept and to drive it home a little bit more, to compare briefly the words of a song. Some of you are old enough to where you might remember it. Some of you younger ones, maybe you have heard it before. If not, you've certainly heard songs that are similar to this that cause us to think about our world in a certain way. This was done a number of years ago by Louis Armstrong, and it's called Wonderful World. And I'm not bashing him. I'm not even necessarily bashing the song. I am asking us to consider how this kind of thought affects us when it comes to walking in a manner to where we want to redeem the time and make the most of it because the days are evil. The fact that the days are evil make it difficult for us to redeem the time. And if we don't recognize it, we're already behind the challenge that we face. So the song goes like this. I see trees of green and red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky, and also the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I never know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful life. That was a popular song, but I would say it's also a popular thought, that this is basically a wonderful life. But now I want you to compare that to a passage out of the book that we're studying in right now, just another chapter on. In Ephesians chapter 6, let's just read a couple of verses. If this is such a wonderful world, why does the Apostle Paul say these words? Beginning with verse 11, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devils. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. And he talks about putting on that armor. We know that passage well. But why would that passage be in there if this is such a wonderful world? I think that the danger that we face is that sometimes we see life as too casual, too benign, perhaps even too easy. And that's not to say that we necessarily have easy everywhere we go. But we have this way of seeing that in general if we're not careful. That's not to say, and I'm not wanting to be a Debbie Downer here this morning, that's not to say that we can't have real peace, real joy, and real contentment in this fallen world. You understand that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that even in the song, he quoted a beautiful rainbow. What is that a reminder of? It's a reminder of flood. It's a reminder of sin. It's a reminder of human nature. He also quoted things about creation and the beauty of creation. Do you know what you see when you look out there? You don't see direct evidence. It's been somewhat muted of the creation. We see evidence of the flood. It's all over. And yet, even in the flood, there is a certain beauty and there's certain redeeming things that God has brought and that he has allowed as a result. So I'm not saying that this song is evil. I'm not saying, necessarily those things. I'm just asking, why is it that we struggle in seeing regularly, day to day, the challenge of living in this evil world? Sometimes I think we're hesitant or we're scared to call it evil, to think about Satan and his minions in negative ways. But the reality is that's what we face, especially if we want to walk in a manner worthy of the call that the Lord has on our life. I think especially it's difficult for younger people. I think especially even looking back in my own life, having raised kids, I think it's very difficult for younger people to see this world as being fallen, as being an evil place, and being something that they need to be prepared for and handle in a wisdom sort of way. The final thing I would encourage you to consider from this passage today in Ephesians chapter 5 is the will of God. Something that we talked about in our family training hour this morning, by the way, I would like to put in a little plug for that. It's always good. We're in transition time. We're going to be starting 2 Timothy coming up. But it's a great time to come to have fellowship, to discuss the scriptures together. And we just encourage you to join us for that as we continue to go forward. But as it says in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the final admonition out of this passage that we're studying today is to not be foolish, but to understand the importance of God's will. So we have looked at today a wise walk, a limited window, a wicked world, and God's will. Right now we're going to talk just briefly about God's will. First of all, it's not God's will that we be foolish. And that's exactly what's stated in this passage. Do not be foolish. And for us to not make the most of our time, for us not to walk in a worthy manner, in a wise way, that's foolishness. And so we need to be very careful not to be foolish, because we can easily be foolish in our flesh, in this world that is filled with foolishness. It's very easy for us to be foolish. So the admonition is not to be foolish, but to understand God's will. So God wants us to understand his will. It was very interesting, our study on God's will this morning, dovetailed with some of this very nicely. But the word understand means to consider, to perceive, to understand. What does it take to do that, to understand what God's will is? Well, one of the things that came out very clearly of the time together this morning was just knowing God's word. If we know God's word, especially in certain areas, in certain ways, I think Doc listed, 7 things where we can know very clearly God's will, and he added 2 more. Are you including the Sanks? the Sanks one. He tried to make it all S's, and Miss Randy came up with Sanks instead of thanks. So that's one of his will. One of the things that is his will for us is that we would be thankful. And saying thanks, I think, was the way Doc had put it in his teaching time together this morning. But we need to know, we should want to know what God's will is for our life. And often, as was mentioned today, people want to find God's will for specific areas, like who I should marry, where I should go to college, what kind of occupation I should have, and those kinds of things. But the reality is that those things pale in comparison to some of the more specific things the Scripture talks about in terms of God's will for our life, including His will that we not be foolish, but we redeem the time and make the most of it. One of the things that came out very clearly in our time together this morning in Sunday school, and that is very clear as well, is that one of the things that is God's will is that each one would be saved. That each one here would be saved. And so that's the starting point. That is the foundation point for knowing God's will, is that we would all individually be born again and be saved from this evil generation and from the sin from which we are enslaved. As you evaluate this in light of your own life, perhaps you're here today and you don't even know whether or not there is a God. The book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 1 says that a fool says in his heart that there is no God. And we would like to admonish you, I would admonish you today, to not be a fool and to say that there is no God. There is a God in heaven. There is a God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on earth to die for our sins, that everyone who places their faith and their trust in him should live for eternity. That is not, some people today would say, that's foolishness. You're throwing your life away. You are wasting your time to follow such blind faith and promises. But it's not blind faith, and they are not blind promises. They are the reality of a true and living God who wants us to know his will and his way. And that includes learning a wise walk, learning that we have a limited window, learning that this is a wicked world that we live in, and learning that he has a definite will for our lives. Let's pray. Father, as we interact with this passage of Scripture, we have to say that we, I know that I do anyway, that I don't always live as wisely as what I should. Lord, it's very convicting to think about walking in a manner that is worthy before you and to apply wisdom to my life. And I pray, Father, if there is anyone here today who, first of all, has never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they would do that, that they would know that that is God's will for them, that they would come to repent of their sins and be saved from those sins. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your word to guide us, and we pray, Father, that we would learn what it means day by day, clearer and clearer, to walk in wisdom and to walk in a manner that's worthy before you. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.